Welcome to our midweek meeting. I thank God for those in Calvary Chapel that have a real hunger for the Word of God. Thank you for joining us tonight, and I pray that during this lesson there will be something that you will not only learn, but there will be an excitement that will cause a change in each of our lives. We realise it's not been easy with the restrictions, and that's something we just have to put up with. But maybe God has intended this for a purpose, that we would draw closer to Him. Amen. So let's open the Word of God. Our Bible study series is titled Kingdom Come. And Jesus began His ministry on earth by proclaiming the coming of the Kingdom of Heaven. Even though He had preached much about the Kingdom of Heaven, as you've already heard from Brother Kent, it appears that the disciples were expecting something else. So before we pray, let's just open up the Word of God at Acts chapter 1. This is just before Jesus' ascension. In chapter 1, verse 6, "And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Now the powerful verse. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Sometimes we can miss the point. The disciples had sat under Jesus' ministry and heard about the parables and the other promises regarding the kingdom of God, yet they still didn't grasp it. But we read in the book of Acts, and I encourage you to read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 soon after this lesson, if you haven't read it already, and understand what actually happened to them on that day, on the day of Pentecost. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wonderful presence when the Word of God is open. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight. Open our understanding, open our hearts. Show yourself to us again, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. This series focuses on the elements of the kingdom and how anybody who desires it can be a vessel for the glory, power, and authority of God. It may be that you don't quite understand what it means when we talk about the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you thought the kingdom is something which is coming, not in existence at this present time. But this kingdom has come, and it will not pass away. Amen. So in this lesson, in not only this lesson, but the series of lessons we're doing, we hope to take away any confusion about the kingdom of heaven, past, present, and future. First of all, let me just say, and this may have been said by Brother Kent, that there is no difference between the terms kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. They actually indicate the same thing. And of course, you can't have a kingdom unless you've got a king. That's why the Bible calls Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All other kings have kingdoms, but their kingdom is not as great as the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, all rule and authority is over all other kings and all other lords and belongs to Jesus. In our first lesson, we learnt that Jesus sits eternally upon this kingdom, the throne of this kingdom. The kingdom of heaven cannot be destroyed. Jesus is omnipotent, that means all-powerful, and he does not rule in any sense of insecurity. He has no insecurity because his kingdom cannot be overthrown. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, there's something amazing here. I read this as a young man one day and it opened my eyes when I looked at the verse a little bit closer. Jesus says there, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." I looked up the meaning of this word, all. Just a very simple word, all. But what it actually implies is all power, yes, it says that, but any power, if there's any power, and every power belongs to Jesus. In other words, outside of his power, there is no power that exceeds it. So, in our study tonight, we're going to be looking at the kingdom of God yesterday. That is, in the past. We're going to take a little bit of a look at history. God poured out the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. This was the initial outpouring. Right from the book of Genesis, right through the scriptures, we often read of the word, the promise. The promise. Jesus said, "The promise is unto you and unto your children too," after the Holy Spirit was poured out. Even though people continue to receive the Holy Spirit, there was another significant outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the early 19th century, or the 20th century. So once again, I just want to encourage you, I'm going to speak about that, I want to encourage you otherwise to make sure you read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 after this study. So first of all, let's go back to the beginning. That is the first century church. The day of Pentecost. It was a special Jewish celebration. It was a celebration of praise. They were in the upper room because they had been instructed to wait. They were obedient and they had faith. Why? Because as I've already read, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." The implication there is you don't have that power right now. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will have that power. "And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." When this power comes upon you, Jesus was saying, you will make a difference. You will actually be witnesses into the various parts of the world, even to the uttermost part of the world. And this word witnesses is just not talking witnesses. The word witnesses, if you look at it in the Greek, means martyr. When Jesus promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, when he told them to go into the upper room and pray, he did not tell them when this was going to happen. He just says, wait. wait. Let's understand that we can't dictate what God is going to do. Maybe at the end of this lesson I may tell you a little bit about my testimony. God certainly caused me to wait until I was anxious and very, very hungry for the Holy Ghost. But they obeyed. They were together in unity. They prayed together. Then, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up and became a witness to all that would listen. This was something very strange that had happened. Very, very strange. Just imagine if we saw this, maybe we would join them with and say, these people are crazy, they're drunk. And sometimes people that get filled with the Holy Ghost do very unusual things. I've seen some amazing things. But, you know, when people go to the football and their team is winning, they do very strange things as well. You can imagine when the Holy Ghost falls on somebody and they become overwhelmed and excited and full of joy. No doubt they're going to do unusual things. But Peter preached when they said, what's going on? Peter said that this was that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. That's in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Now I read it here, down to verse 18. And it came to pass in the last days, and it shall come to pass in the last days, God saith, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This word prophesy here doesn't necessarily mean as a prophet, but they will witness, they will speak the word of God with authority and with anointing. And so they were obedient to the command of Jesus. And those who are obedient today will experience of his many, many promises. You see, when this happened, the apostles realized that what had happened to them and God revealing his work through them was not their power. They knew that what had happened was the power of Jesus within them. And because of that, they were then able to proclaim the power of Jesus in Jesus' name. And they actually saw things happen. For instance, remember Peter and John entering into the temple. I've preached on this before. They went in and out of that temple at the hour of prayer every day. And they would have walked past this man every day. But on this particular day, something happened. All of a sudden, Peter looked at this man who was lame and begging and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now, would you do that? Well, Peter just had this knowledge right there and then, at that moment, that if he proclaimed the name of Jesus and that Jesus would cause this man to walk, that actually it would happen. And it did. You just need to read Acts chapter 3, verse 6. And everybody saw it. There was a terrible lot of trouble after that. And remember, it was not the miracle they got upset about. They couldn't deny that. It was the fact that they used the power that is in the name of Jesus. And of course, Saul, who was later on called Paul, as Saul, he persecuted the church. And we know that he had a dynamic meeting with Jesus, who said, I am the one that you're persecuting. You can read about that. I can't cover all these things here tonight. Yet, even though Saul was intimidating in the fact that he had rounded the Christians up and put them in jail, some of them had been put to death. When God spoke to Ananias, he had the faith and the trust in God's ability to convert Saul to become an apostle. I can understand that they would have been very hesitant to meet this man, Saul. Everybody knew what he'd been doing and that he had authority to throw the Christians in jail. But Ananias stepped out full of the Holy Ghost and trusted in his God. And so the early church committed themselves to giving their lives for the gospel, to see the kingdom of God manifested on earth. We are the children of the kingdom because he is our king. We are the children of the kingdom of God today. And that's the way the world, the only way the world's going to know that there is a King of Kings and of Lord of Lords, that there is a Saviour who can save anybody from the guttermost to the uttermost. And then we can also read about Stephen and the courage that he had to go into the synagogue and to preach Jesus and then even face death by stoning. Paul, well, as powerful as he was, as entrenched as he was in the Jewish religion, he left that tradition, he left his position, he left the power that he had as a Pharisee and became an apostle of God. He said, above all things, that I may win Christ. So now let's just skip over a couple of thousand years and come to the 21st century. Just like in the days of the early church, the day of Pentecost, again in 1906, God visited this world with a mighty outpouring of his Holy Spirit. It was at Azusa Street. I've been there in Los Angeles. I went to Azusa Street. I was probably a little bit disappointed. I wanted to see a little bit more than a street sign. But I was there where it all happened. And I stood there on the street corner with my wife and another preacher. And we said, wow, this is where it all happened back on the day of Pentecost. But at that particular point, God revisited in a very powerful way. He poured out his spirit upon people that came together to hear the ministry of the Word of God. I want you to understand that from the day of Pentecost through to the Azusa Street happening, there were always people receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit throughout history. But there were very few, and we don't read a terrible lot about it. We read of little amazing outbreaks of things that happen around the world. But when Azusa Street came, literally thousands upon thousands of people who flocked to that building there in Los Angeles at Azusa Street. Amazingly, God was doing a very, very, very great things. People, because of their obedience to the Word of God, saw revival. There were miracles, signs, wonders, as the Word of God was proclaimed and the gift of the Holy Spirit was operating. Some of the preachers there, they basically preached all days. One crowd would move into the building and fill it up. They would hear the Word of God. They would praise him. They would dance. Many people would be filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd move out and another meeting would start. It was in all the newspapers around the United States. The news of it went abroad to China and other places, and missionaries who heard of this immediately, as quickly as they could, went to see what was happening. I want you to know that what happened in Azusa Street was not quite quietly done in a corner. It was something that was an amazing event. And because of that, people heard of it all the way around the world. They didn't have the internet. They had very, very meagre communication methods, but still people found out. And the might of it, the wonder of it, drew people from all over the world. And this was wonderful because it was God's plan that what was happening in Azusa Street would then spread right throughout the world again. According to the prophets, as in Joel, we are now living in the times of the second coming of Jesus. I think that's very obvious. It's so obvious that there's nothing really to preach about that's going to happen. It's all happened. And you've heard that ministered here in this church. However, in the book of Joel, it tells us what happened in the book of Acts, that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That doesn't mean everybody would receive his spirit, but basically everybody would have the opportunity to receive his spirit. When it says all flesh, it basically means upon all nations. When I was a young man, I used to hear some preaching about the latter rain. And we read about the former and the latter rain in the book of Haggai, particularly in chapter 2 and verse 9. And what the concept there was that the latter rain would be greater than the former. So a lot of people believe that that we are living in the age of the latter rain. Now, there was a movement called the Latter Rain Movement, but unfortunately, what they preached was true, but they went off the rails because they got involved in all sorts of things, just like the devil. Whenever the truth is preached, the devil tries to step in and deflect people away from it or to cause confusion. However, today there is a wonderful, great cloud of witnesses. Let's realize that Jesus must come first in our lives. If you're going to be in the kingdom of God, and you're going to be one that is one of his servants, then he must be first. His word, his ways, his presence has to be the utmost thought of our life. Jesus is coming. We're only here for a very, very short period of time now. That is, if we're still alive, we will see the coming of Jesus. Just like in the Old Testament, in the New Testament days of Pentecost, they were obedient. When God spoke, they obeyed. When God called, they responded. They obeyed even when those around them criticized them. They obeyed even though they were persecuted. They obeyed even knowing it would cost them everything. And so the Holy Spirit in them caused a rising up of faith and activated them into action. And brothers and sisters, if we have the Holy Ghost, we should be activated into action. They believed that God would do all that he had promised, and he would do it by his power alone. Now, we're not in this. We are just filled with the Holy Ghost. We are representing Jesus. No glory to us. We don't do the work. He does the work. They believed that it would change the world. Do you believe that the message of Jesus will change the world? They believed that nothing could stand in the way of God's plan. Do you believe that? Well, you may know, earlier this year when I spoke to the church, a lot of people were saying, is this a plague from God, this COVID? I said, I actually can't tell you whether it's a plague from God, but I can tell you that God permitted it because he's omnipresent, all-powerful. If he didn't permit it, then it would not happen. And all as I can say is God has allowed this to happen. Man's recklessness. God allows man to suffer as a result of his recklessness. But at the same time, God will be working his plan in the midst of every situation. Then, of course, they believed that it would be worth the sacrifice. We read in the Old Testament about the Spirit of God falling upon the prophets and various other ones. The word anointing, they were anointed. The Spirit of God fell on them or fell over them. However, in the New Testament, that is different. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, we read, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. It doesn't just fall over the top of you, it abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now please don't think that you don't need any man to teach you. We need our preachers, we need our pastors who guide the flock. That is not saying that we become a law unto ourselves. But what it's really saying is we will be led by the Holy Spirit. We will be led. We read his word, we hear God speaking, and we are led. But we are also subject to our leadership, who will check us, because the devil is very cunning. He would use our ego, as it was, to lead us off in the wrong direction. And if we're really being led by the Spirit of God, we will be very ready to hear what other godly people have got to say. And then, to help us understand a little bit more, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, just prior to that, it says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Jesus said he would lead us and guide us. But this word unction is very interesting, because it's not only, as in the other verse, will abide with us, but the word unction means a smearing. We have the unction of the Holy Ghost, the Holy One. We have an unction of the Holy One. And that is, this unction is, the meaning in the Greek is to smear or to rub in. You see, in the Old Testament, the anointing fell upon certain people, but it did not rub in, it did not stay. It was not just flowing, it's not today, it's not just flowing over us, but God is rubbing it in as we read the Word of God, as we come to church, as we worship Him. He's rubbing in to us the power of the Holy Ghost. We are learning. It just doesn't happen all of a sudden. We are learning to submit to the power of Jesus and the presence of Jesus. Let's understand what God prophesied has come to pass, and it will come to pass. And it will come to pass in you. And it can be evident in you if we obey, no matter what. No matter what, step out and be obedient. You've got to believe that in Jesus is all the power. Not in you. In Jesus is all the power. And he wants to reveal himself through you, one of his servants. Yes, we should be praying, I want you, God, above all else. Your ways above mine. Your thoughts above mine. Your plan above mine. God is always looking for someone to create a place for him. Every one of us need to open our hearts. Now, I want to finish, but very briefly, just tell you, this is not always easy for us. We tend to be so repellent of what God wants to do in our lives. I went to a nominal church. My parents were Pentecostal. The people in the nominal church that I went to, they were lovely people, very caring. It was a Bible church, but as I grew older, I began to realize that there was a lot of the Bible they were not preaching. And probably the thing that clenched it with me is one day when the pastor was asked about, well, why don't we have healings today like they did in the Old Testament, in the New Testament church? He said, it's not for today. And then after that, I heard of a lot of other things that were not for today. But I read the Word of God. I read about Pentecost. I read the epistles and the work that God did. And I thought, well, if we take all that out of the Bible, what's left? And so secretly, I began to seek God. Certain times, I would be the only one at home. I used to live in a sleep out up the backyard, and I'd get down on my knees and pray, and I'd ask God, if there's a Holy Spirit, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. But you know, it seemed like my words just went up and bounced off the roof. Week after week after week after week after week after week, I prayed. I said, Lord, I read it in your Bible. It's the promise. It's the promise. And then a friend of mine came around. He said to me, we're going to a meeting tonight. I said, well, what sort of a meeting? He said, a Pentecostal meeting. I said, hey, you know. I was praying for the Holy Ghost, but I don't know whether I was ready to front up to a Pentecostal meeting. He said, you've got to come. He said, I went there last night and I saw a blind girl healed. I thought, wow. Well, in actual fact, I was still in bed in the sleep out, and my friend is saying, come on, get up, get yourself ready, we're going to go tonight. So I said, oh, go away, please, go away. But anyway, he came back later on the day and insisted that I go with him. Well, I went. And when I was in that meeting, I took a pencil and paper. I actually was going to criticise what these Pentecostals do and take down notes of all the bad things that they do. I'd read some books about it, you know. And to start off with, before the start of the meeting, I saw them bring a man in who was lame. He couldn't walk. He didn't have crutches. They carried him in. Basically, his feet were dragging on the floor as he moved through the crowd, and they sat him down. And then what really opened my eyes is later on in the meeting, while the preacher was preaching, he just stopped preaching as if something had struck him. And he said, somewhere over here, there's someone needs a healing. Just as simple as that. Well, this person didn't need to be pointed out because they accepted that as God saying to them, I'm ready to heal you. And it was the lame man, the man who couldn't walk. He was full of arthritis. He leapt out of his seat and he didn't worry about any manners. He walked across the people, got to the aisleway, started running and jumping and screaming out. And I thought to myself, I can't deny this. Later on in that meeting, that faith that I'd received, what I'd actually seen, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. After many months of praying, after many months of studying God's Word. Why did God do that to me? Well, I spent a lot of time telling people that the Pentecostal experience was of the devil. So I believe that that God wanted to make sure I truly understood and was hungry for the power of God before he filled me. If you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, seek him. Seek him with all your heart. It's not, as you're going to hear next week, it's not just for the past, it is for the present. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, that we can, Lord Jesus, be part of the kingdom, that we can be servants in the kingdom. And Lord, as we finish right now, we acknowledge that you are the almighty creator. And in being the creator, you are the king of the earth, the king of kings, and the Lord of lords. Nobody is like you. And Lord Jesus, help us to humble ourselves. Sometimes we may even think that we're greater than you, but we're not. Touch our hearts tonight, we pray. Make us thirsty, that we would want to drink of the wells of the kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.